thank the Lord for letting us be in his house again. God's sure been good to us and blessed us to come back this way this morning. Good to see everyone that's here. And if you're visiting, we especially want to say thank you for being here with us this morning. Have scripture that I want to share. And I actually shared this last week, but it's on my heart to share it again today. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Thank God for the message that he sends to us, and he sends it through the church by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Let's all stand for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today. God, we pray for this service. God, we pray that the message from you might come through us and be powerful this morning. God, we ask you to bless this service and help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, just help us to come with humble hearts, God, and just in the center of your will this morning. Lord Jesus, we ask you these things and we pray for this service in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. We turn service over to the choir.
18.
Oh,
Page 76. Thank you. Page 150. Page 150.
I have no fear.
I really appreciate being in the Lord's house this morning. Ever since the children's choir started, we've been worshiping and talking about how good our God is. They sang this morning that song from the Christmas play about, I got my very own personal miracle. And I love that song. Taylor and Billy and them sing, Miracle in Me. I've had some people ask me over the years if I believe in miracles or if I've ever seen a miracle. I've seen a lot of miracles in my life, but I've got a miracle that lives inside of me. I got saved when I was a six-year-old boy, and he's been my very dearest friend since that moment. I've got a verse I'd like to read for you, just one verse. God put it on my heart. I've read it before. The 43rd chapter of Isaiah says, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When Christ came and he took on the sin of the world, he also took on my sin. When Christ died on the cross for the whole world, he also died for me. It's a personal relationship I have with the Lord. If you don't have that personal relationship this morning, I pray that you'll find it. If you don't have that joy we're singing about this morning, I pray that God will restore that joy of your salvation. We'll ask at this time for everyone will. Please stand to your feet. And we'll ask if anyone has an unspoken prayer request. Hands all over the house. A lot to pray for this morning. Anybody have a spoken prayer request on your heart? Yeah.
I'm so thankful for
you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, appreciate that. Let's really pray for our loss this morning. Really pray for this service. Pray for conviction. Pray for our pastor. Anybody else this morning?
Sister passed away. Mm-hmm. They could pray for mom, but she's got some kids that I don't know if they know the Lord. And at the funeral, the message went out, and I was so thankful for that. But
yeah. Amen. Let's pray for that. Anybody else this morning? Yeah, just remember Marcella this morning. Anybody else? Remember that. Lord, put it on my heart to say this. I know Bob says it a lot, but I've really got his daughter that lives in Toledo on my heart real strong. I've really got a burden for them. I'd really like to ask the church again. I know he'd ask for it this morning if he's here, but really pray for her and that family. Nobody else has anything. We're going to ask Mike Nichols to lead us in prayer.
Children to the people down about the Lord, you might be able to show them the
We'll ask at this time if anyone has a song or a testimony on your heart. Just follow the Lord this morning. I know it can be really scary to get up here, and you might think you just have just a small little thing and it really won't mean much, it really won't add nothing to it, but I remember one time Neil Wireman got up here and all he said was three words: He is risen, and the whole church rejoiced. What God's given you is important to do. Follow the Lord this morning. If he's given you something, just follow him. Amen. Yeah, appreciate that. Amen. Anybody else this morning? I don't have anything else on my heart, so I'm going to turn it over to my pastor.
Thanks the Lord for being here. Like's already been said, I got a blessing out of the children singing at the start of Sunday school, and enjoyed the Sunday school lesson, enjoyed the choir singing, and enjoyed opening up, and I'm just enjoying seeing everybody that's here. Thank God for you that you are, and I want you to really pray. And let me ask again. Jeremy gave plenty of opportunity, but let me just ask again. Somebody got a song? Let's pray. Pray real hard.
Fit in over here, that'd be great. Right in here. And I need you down here. Come right to the edge. Come right up here to the edge. Just don't fall off. Good. Coming, buddy? Can you guys go over here for me? Go right over there. Bigger kids, if you can help the little kids get to the front, that way they'll be... So we sung this during the play, and then we sung it this morning, and I was sitting there thinking, man, that's, you know, this is overkill. I started feeling like singing it. But we need to sing it again. We had a good Sunday school lesson this morning, and we were talking about the new year coming, and we were talking about New Year's resolutions and how a lot of us make a New Year's resolution, and we break it. I told him, you know, it might be a few days later. Sometimes we say we're going to eat less, or we're going to do this, or say I'm going to exercise this day, and then we don't do it. And my point was, I told him about Abraham before he was Abraham. Yep. And I said, God made a covenant with him. I said, but he knew Abraham couldn't uphold his end. And back then, the one would walk through the path around the sacrifices, if you'll have it. But God made Abram fall asleep, and he swore by himself, I don't have to keep any kind of, I can't keep it. I can't make some kind of statement or some kind of vow that I'm good enough to keep to get me to heaven. You got to be saved, and it's through him and by him and only him. And we're just going to do the chorus like we did this morning. We're going to have you sing your verse, if that's all right. And then we'll sit down. But I wanted to say this, too. I told the kids how that H, I'll never forget when Terry preached on the number 5, and that H added to the names. They got grace. They got grace. And you can get that grace. And you kids that are up here today, during the preaching, right now, it doesn't matter. If you feel the Lord call you, you can get that grace.
Amen.
All right.
Got my very own personal miracle, my blinded eyes now can see. From darkness to light, from death unto life, from vanquish to victory. My God's unstoppable, what I thought impossible is now my reality. I got my very own personal miracle. Jesus gave it to me.
Go ahead, buddy.
God gave a young lady a Holy Ghost baby. Shepherds and wise men came to see. The angel said, "Rejoice, I bring you tidings of great joys. This child would set the captives free. Oh God, this dying world so loved, He gave up His only Son to die on a cross of Calvary. But He arose from the grave. I trusted and got saved. Now Jesus is that miracle in me.
I got my very own person. Darkness to life, from death unto life, from vanquished to victory. My God's unstoppable, what I thought impossible is now my reality. I got my very own personal miracle. Jesus gave it to me. I got my very own personal miracle. Jesus gave it to me.
Good job.
Good
job, guys.
Have a seat. Good job. Thank you.
Thank the Lord. That was a blessing. That was very precious. I appreciate what we just saw and felt. You don't know how long time is going to stand, but if this old world standing a while, a few years from now, I'm telling what great things this little group will be doing. Yeah. Anybody else now got something on your heart? Okay. I want you to pray very earnestly. God willing, I'm going to read from the book of Matthew. If you got your Bibles, I want to read. I might read a number of places, but this one I'm going to start reading at. Matthew 5 and 27. But I want to quote a couple of verses before I start reading. And Exodus, back in the book of Exodus, and the 20th chapter of Exodus and verse 14, it's one of our Ten Commandments. It's the seventh one down on our list here. It says, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Amen. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If we will confess our sins," and that means to God, "if we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And so I praise God. God has the power to forgive sin. And if He didn't, I'd still be a sinner and on the way to hell. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one that's done good, no, not one, except Jesus. And so, again, Exodus said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Here, in the fifth chapter of Matthew then, says this, verse 27, and this is the Lord speaking. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. He's quoting what I just quoted from Exodus. You've heard what it said in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And so I remember when I was a young preacher, I remember a middle-aged or older preacher commented, we were just talking privately, and he said, I just can't hardly bring up stuff like adultery and things like that. He said, I just can't hardly preach on it. He said, I didn't decide that was my choice this morning, but that's what God's put on my heart. And so when it said back here, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And so I want to preach this morning. I got some things on my heart. And this world is going crazy. And there's so many things now that the world says, well, that'll be okay. That don't hurt anything. I want you to know if it was a sin in Grandma and Grandpa's time, it's still a sin today. And if a man would look on a woman to lust after, he's committed adultery in his heart. Let me tell you a little story. And this, I don't know why this keeps coming back to me. I thought of this for a few days now. And I will say this. You know, the message that I preached last week, and I preached a lot about sin last week and different things. And I probably won't name all those things again this week because I got a lot more on my heart. But this connects with what I preached last week. But I just got to preach what's on my heart. And where it talks about looking on a woman when it says here, if whosoever looked on a woman to lust after her, that's for the purpose of lusting. He didn't just say who looks and lusts. He said looks to lust. You might look at her physical being, or you might look at a picture of her, or you might look at a video of her. There's a word for that. That's called pornography. Folks, that's not proper. That's an abomination to God. We need to put that stuff out of our lives. And if you got caught up in that, I've had people tell me, well, that won't hurt anything. Nothing, nobody's involved. I want you to know, if you're doing that, you're involved. And whoever you're looking at's involved. And so, people, we need to stay away from that. And I got a little story. I don't know why, but I need to tell it. Many years ago, I stopped by a fellow's house. He's a young man. I was kind of young then myself. And we sat in his living room, talked a while. He said, preacher, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to confess something. He said, I've got a real problem. He said, you see how my windows wrap around my living room here? And I said, yeah. And he said, that window over on that side of the house. He said, when I look out that window, he said, I can see the neighbor lady over there. And he said, I think she does things to entice me. He said, I just can't hardly get away from looking out that window and looking at that woman. And he said, have you got any idea anything I can do? And I said, yeah, I've got an idea, and it's real simple. You need to quit looking out that window. And he said, well, how am I going to do that? I said, it's got a curtain on it. Pull the curtain over to it. You can't see through the curtain. Looking out the window. I want you to know today, there's a way to get away from these things that are sin. Now, I want you to get this. Keep bearing that in mind. But I want you to go, if you like to, I want you to go over in the scripture a little bit farther. Over here, I'm going to go over here in where it's talking about in the book of John. I want you to pray. Over here in the book of John, Jesus, he came to the Mount of Olives. And he went into the temple and he sat down and he was teaching. Now you prayed I might have the strength and the voice and the spirit to preach what's on my heart. I've been carrying this for a while, and I tell you what, it's a heavy load to carry. And I don't want to take it home with me today. I want to leave it here. Over here, I said, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. That's the thing that God's already said, that's bad. Don't do that. There's no question about it. God does not condone sin, but God will forgive sin. The word talks about if we'll confess to him our sin, he's faithful and just. I already quoted that. But they brought a woman to him, taken in an act of adultery. They set him in the midst. They said, Master, this woman was taken in an act of adultery. adultery. He said, now, in Moses' law, it's commanded, if that happened, she ought to be stoned. They were ready to stone this woman. I'm telling you what, we need to be careful about judging, and we need to be careful about throwing stones. I need to have a forgiving and a loving and a compassionate heart. And it goes on down, and when they said they tempted him, they were going to accuse him. They thought they could get Jesus in trouble, just putting in my words. But listen to this. When they were telling him that, he lifted himself up and said unto them, he got down on the ground and he wrote in the sand. I don't know what he wrote in the sand, but I've got an idea. I'm just guessing at it, but couldn't prove this. But I suspect, Blaine, that when he was writing in the sand, he knew all their names. I kind of imagine he put a name down. He wrote down some sins that the first one had done. Maybe wrote down another name. Wrote down some sins that the next one had done. I'm telling you what, God knows what your sins are. Anyway, they were still wanting to stone the woman. He was writing in the sand. He did that a couple of times. But while he finally got up, he said, he that's without sin, cast the first stone. Listen, we need to be praying for people that are in adulterous situations. But we also need to be praying for people that are wanting to cast stones. We need to pray for the stone throwers. We need to pray for them that's tattlers and backbiters. They need our prayers too. God loves them too. And so back here, when this woman, when she'd been caught in the act of adultery, I'm going to tell you what, how sad that was that she got caught in that. But God was able to forgive her. And so when he told these people, he said, just if you got anything, a stone to throw. If you don't have any sin, throw the stone. Boy, I never could be a stone thrower because I'm a sinful person. Wait a minute, you're the pastor. You can't be sinful. I've got it in my nature. I try to live right, and I'm not involved in anything that's bad that's going on. But I want you to know I'm still a long ways from being perfect. But God made my soul perfect. When I was just a boy, I was 12 years old. And so when he said here, listen to this, he without sin cast the first stone. Well, when they heard that of their conscience, they got up and left. I like what Jesus said to the woman. When Jesus had lifted himself up, he saw none of them there but the woman. He said unto the woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Praise God. I want to preach today. Whatever sin is in your life, God's able to forgive it. You can be born again. If you're lost, you can be born again. And if you're saved and out of fellowship with God, I'm telling you what, you can get back in fellowship with God today because God knows how to forgive. Now you keep praying. I'm not done by a long ways. And you pray real hard. Well, I appreciate the Lord, and I'm glad for what I feel here today. I appreciate your prayers, and I want to go back here. I want to go over in the book of Romans, and you pray real hard while I find this scripture. Should have it written here pretty quick, and I believe I got it marked here somewhere, and you pray real hard, but I'll find it anyway. If I don't have it, I know where the book of Romans is at, I guess. Over here in the first chapter of the book of Romans. Yeah, I just didn't find the right title on it there. But listen to this. I want you to get this down here, what the Bible said over here in the book of Romans. I like what Paul said to the people of Rome. And he was talking about the things of God. And here in verse 16, I like this. This is very, very familiar scripture and very quotable scripture. Here in the 16th verse in the first chapter of the book of Romans, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What's a very familiar scripture? He said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But he goes on down here and he deals with some sins that the world is overlooking today. Now, listen, let me just tell you what this is going to talk about down here, and you can listen to it when I get to it. Homosexuality is not okay. Homosexuality is part of adultery. When God set up the family, he put a man and he put a woman. A man and woman's married. And over in the first chapter of Genesis, when he's talking about that, probably the 27th verse, it said when God made them, he made them male and female. And he didn't say he made them transgender. It didn't say he made them so they could change back and forth. If you was born a man, you'll be a man till you die. If you was born a woman, you'll be a woman till you die. And so listen, God doesn't condone. And I've had people that ought to know better say, well, if you got them feelings in you, you can't help it. You might have felt like killing somebody sometime. You didn't have to kill them just because you felt like it. And that fellow that I told you about when I started out looking at his neighbor's wife, he needed to quit looking at her. Let me get down through here and let me tell you this, what the Bible said down here. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteous and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because they which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Now listen to this. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I've had people say, well, I just didn't know this or that was wrong. I'm telling you what, God will let you know what's wrong. This sure said, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and in their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Let me go on down here about to verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own flesh to dishonor their own body between themselves. God didn't make them sin, but he let them choose their own path. Well, now listen here, what happened? And this is what they did when they went their own way and left God out of it. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served a creature more than a creator, who is, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. My friend, if God said it's wrong, it's wrong. The government can make a law that two men can get married, but they don't get married in the eyes of God. It's still adultery because it's sin in the eyes of God. Let me tell you a couple little stories. When I was just a young man, still a teenager, I had two friends. They wasn't connected to each other, but two friends, they'd come to me, and both of them said, I've got a problem. I want you to help me pray. And both of their problems were similar. They had feelings for other men, homosexual feelings. Well, the first fella, he said, I don't want to feel this way. I know it's wrong. It said it's wrong in the Bible. And I said, God can help you with it. And so we prayed and some other people prayed. And this man, he turned those homosexual feelings aside and eventually got married and had some children, raised a family. He's been a good Christian all his life. He's old now. And, of course, I'm not going to say who it is, but he's an older fella now. And he's had a great life for the Lord. He's admitted to me sometimes down the road of life. He said, you know, sometimes those feelings will pop up. He said, sometimes I get wrong feelings. I said, buddy, everybody gets wrong feelings about something. But he said, but when I get that feeling, he said, I pray and God blesses me and I turn away from it. Well, that shows God has the power to help us overcome things like that. Now, the other fella, he didn't quite have quite as righteous a life as the first man. He lived right for a while. I've worshipped with him. I know he's saved. But he got away from God. He turned towards his homosexual feelings. He got him another man and lived together with him for a while. But somewhere in the process of things, he had gotten married. He had a couple of kids. And so everything was a mess. Well, he told me at one point in time, he said, I've really messed up. He said, I need to get back in fellowship with God. Well, now, he did repent. He got back in fellowship with God. But in the process of time, he got cancer. Well, he got cancer. He realized he was getting close to time to die. He called me. He said, buddy, he said, I don't have long. I'm probably going to die. He said, what I'm doing, he said, I got some family that's real religious. And he said, they're real godly people. They go to a good Baptist church. He said, and I've asked my family to take my kids and finish raising them and take them to church. He said, I've failed them real bad. But he said, I've asked my family to take my children to church. And he said, my prayer is that they'll get saved. And so he asked me, he said, will you kind of look at them from the side? He said, I know they're not your family, but he said, will you pray for them and try to look and see if you can help them get saved? And I said, buddy, I'll do anything I can. Don't know what I can do, but here's the bottom line of the story. Somewhere down the line, he died. He was gone, but his family had his kids. And boy, we was in church with him one day, and God moved and conviction came, and them two children came to the altar and got saved. Here, well, what's your point, preacher? I'm telling you, God can overcome anything. If you're involved in sin, God can forgive you for it. And listen, whatever it is, and so adultery's wrong, but you can get forgiveness for adultery. And homosexuality is part of adultery. Don't think, and I've heard people say, well, I can't help it to feel that way. Might as well just go on and do that. Don't do things that God said don't do. Obey the Lord. Now, last week I talked about alcoholism. Listen, if you got an alcohol, and I talked to one man, he said, I said, did you used to be an alcoholic? I'd heard that he was. He said, no, that's not the right way to say it. He said, I am an alcoholic. He said, I haven't drunk an alcoholic drink in 10 years. He said, but I'm still an alcoholic. He said, I can't let my guard down. He said, or I'll be back drinking like I used to. And I said, well, boy, thank God that you've got your life. And he said, God help me to get my life in shape. You can get away from alcohol. You can get away from adultery. You can get away from homosexuality. You can get away from whatever it is. You can come away from it, because if you're saved by the grace of God, he that's within you is greater than he that's within the world. Now, whatever your sins are, and you might have some sin in your life here that don't even register on the things I've been preaching, but if you've got sin in your life, God can take care of it. And so I know this an unusual message and a hard message, but boy, I appreciate you praying and listening. I want us to have a song. I want us to stand. I want us to sing a song. I want us to think about where we're at, and I want us to take everything to God this morning. If you're not taking it to God, you need to take it to God. God knows where you're at. And let's obey the Lord. God will forgive you if you'll confess your faults to him. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, if you need to come pray about something besides what I preached, you can do that. Whatever your need is, or if you need to come pray for somebody else that you've got a burden for, do that while we sing. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Yeah, obey the Lord. Again for your good attention and everything. Anything on anybody's heart to say before we turn over to the announcement? All right, thank you again for your prayers and thank you for that song. Just be seated and we'll let the announcers come on.
I guess I'm first. There's going to be a youth lock-in, and that's going to be on New Year's Eve. I know we have a New Year's Eve service, so after that service, everyone is welcome to stay. We do have plans and different stuff that's going to go on throughout the night, And that stuff is going to start at 10. So if you would like to, after church, maybe go get something to eat or go change your clothes, whatever, and come back, that would be great. And we're going to hang out until 6 a.m. So this is for 6th grade and up. However, we want to invite and encourage everyone that would like to come. So if you are somebody and you have younger youth, but you would like to stay, you are more than welcome to stay with your kids. Also, if you are between the ages of like 18 to 25, we encourage you to stay as well. I know it's kind of like a domino effect. If you stay, you might encourage somebody else to stay. So we would just love for as many people to stay as possible. This is how we start our new year, and we all help each other. So everybody's getting ready to go back to work and school and all those things, and we would love for everybody just to be as on fire as they can be. So if you can stay, please stay. We're going to be having different tournaments and play some Minute to Win It games, do all kinds of fun stuff. We're also going to be having prayer different times through the night and have a discussion. So if you can stay, please stay.
First, I'd like to just say how much I appreciate our pastor and how much I appreciate that message he was willing to preach for us, the message that God gave him. That's not an easy message to preach, and we need to keep praying for our church, and we need to keep praying for our pastor. After you preach a message like that, I'd assume it's probably still weighs on you after you leave here. So really, let's pray for our pastor's wife, and let's pray for our whole church this morning. We really need to dig down deep for our church. But I'll read this announcement. It says, Saturday, January 11th, 2025, we're having a breakfast out here in the fellowship hall from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., all proceeds will go to the Ladies Club for the Ladies Conference Luncheon. Please check to see if you have any Christmas cards. This morning when I came in, there was a whole table full of them still out there yet. So if you've got some Christmas cards, grab them. If there's somebody in your family who's not here, but you can get their Christmas cards for them and give them to them, go ahead and take them. Last thing we want to see is those thrown in the trash or anything like that. So if you can help us get those to where they need to go, we'd appreciate it.
We're going to have a little concert, 6 o'clock, before church for all the littles. I know some of the littles can't stay out there afterwards, so I don't know if you're familiar with what I do at church camp. We kind of sing and interact with them, tell a Bible story. So at 6 o'clock, I know church starts at 7, we're going to meet and just sing and have a good time and tell some stories and hopefully get ready for church. Did I say tonight? Oh, Tuesday, 6 o'clock.
Anybody else?
There's going to be a funeral here in the morning at 10:30 for Thelma Dozier, and the family has asked me to sing, and they asked me to, they said they didn't really need a full choir, so that's okay, but if you're willing to help sing in the choir, I would appreciate it, because they want I'll Fly Away and When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder and Amazing Grace, and I cannot sing all three of them songs by myself. So Amazing Grace, I know I can sing that by myself, but the other two, I'm going to need some help, and I'm going to need a piano player too. I don't know. Joe said he couldn't be here, so if you're willing to come help with that, I would greatly appreciate it. The family would appreciate it. Also, there's going to be a dinner following that. I put out a one call on that, but they're asking for two dishes because it's a pretty large family. So thank you, and pray for that family.
Thank you. I don't know if Linda said that's for Thelma Dozier, that funeral, 10:30 Monday. Her family, as I was thinking about her, and she was a fine lady, saved lady, and I was thinking about her and her family, many of them, was in this church when it started, and I thought back on what they mean to me and meant to this church and everything, and so really pray for that funeral, pray for her family, pray for us, pray for me preaching the funeral, and Linda singing, and everybody can, like she said, come help in the choir if you feel like it. Glad to have you. Anybody else? Service time tonight at 6 o'clock, pretty much. If nothing else, we'll ask everybody to see to stand. I ask Billy Ray to pray the prayer.
Understand that, Father. Lord, we ask you to go with us now to our places of abode, watch over us, and care for us. In Jesus' name, we pray.